Yeah, there are certain traditions that go with Advent, one of them being the Advent candle. And it's a simple thing, but it's a way of helping us mark the season, to focus on the season, and tune in as we walk through the season, not to miss what is happening. So each Sunday, each candle, just a marker for us to make sure that we are tuned in to the birth of Christ and all that it means for us. This Sunday is the third Sunday of Advent, and Christmas is a season where many look forward to gatherings. Gatherings with friends, with family, gathering with those who have a place in our lives. And for some, they have no one or no place to gather. But we are reminded that with Christ, you always have a place to gather. And as we light this week's Advent candle, we are reminded that God gave us a place, a reason, and a Savior to be gathered around. Enjoy. This week's scripture reading from God's Word comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. It's on page 1062 in the Bibles that are around you, so pick up a Bible, your own, or swipe, click, point to a device you may have. If you're at home, you may do that as well. If you want to use the sanctuary Bibles, they're on page 1062. And John's Gospel starts us off in a different place than the other Gospels. There's no mention of Jesus's birth like Matthew and Luke has. But John starts off with a point of theology, identity, that reminds us about why we're here. In the beginning, John says, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was still coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. This Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is God's unchanging word for us today, to learn and to be changed by. Let's pray. In God, in John's opening words to his gospel, we are reminded that there is permanence. That in a world that is constantly changing, you are the one constant. In a world that is constantly broken, you are the one creator. In a world that constantly wants to take away light, you are the one who brings light. And I pray on this Sunday of Advent, this Sunday where we talk about joy, I recognize there are so many who are without joy today because of the frailties of life which have broken them down, the disturbances of life which have depressed them, the realities of living in a broken world like the devastation we have seen in Kentucky and other areas this week. we are reminded how much, how desperate we need to be people of light to those around us who may not have any light in their lives at all. And even from those within your family, your children, your brothers, your sisters, those who call Christ Lord and Savior, those who worship your name, God, the reality that sometimes days are hard and difficult, and sometimes days seem to be a little dark. And sometimes they may not see any light at all. But I pray on this Sunday, God, especially, that you would speak a word of light and of hope and of joy to us so that we may speak that to others. To be your light to those people around us each and every day, and through our words, through our actions, in tangible ways, not just with platitudes, but with the loving, sacrificial life you have given us and modeled for us through Jesus. That from the beginning of the creation of the world, living and dwelling in heaven, he gave away everything to come down and to live into our darkness, to offer us light so we might see the light and offer that light to others. And that thought alone can bring me great joy. So I pray, God, this season, this day, this week especially, for those who are battered and bruised and broken and pressed in on all sides from the world that we live in, God, that joy may be found as we see that glimpse of Jesus' light, your light, into our lives once again, and offer that to those around us. And I pray that in Christ's powerful name. Amen. The third Sunday of Advent, like I just said, the Advent Sunday of joy. And joy is a simple word, three little letters, J-O-Y. It's easy to say. Say it with me, joy. See, wasn't that easy to say? It's also easy to lose. And it's a lot easier sometimes to forget. And this morning, we are living, gathering as people of joy, with the reality, again, as I just pray, that many people still feel that joy has been sucked out of their lives by their world, their situation, and their circumstances. At some point in each of our lives, there probably was a moment of joy. And I don't know what it was for you. Maybe it was that first ski run of the season. Maybe it was a reunion with a family member. We had our youngest son, Landon, came back this past week after being deployed in Saudi Arabia for a year. Moment of joy. Disappointed that the state of New Hampshire didn't recognize that, but we did. And the families who were there, just the joy of people seeing, you know, the soldiers coming off the bus. Maybe it's the sounds of a great concert, or maybe for you it's the sounds and the sights of Christmas, that noises of the paper shredding, the kids laughing, music playing. Christmas is a time in our lives when it's okay to be loud. Have you noticed that? On Christmas Day, how loud the day is? Favorite quotes from one of my fun Christmas movies, Elf. You know, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is to sing loud for all to hear. It doesn't matter if you have a good voice or not, you still sing loud. It's a fun time. It's a day of celebration. But we all know that the reality of that day doesn't last with us, that it disappears quickly. Just like those moments of joy maybe you've all felt. That favorite concert you went to with your favorite friend, or maybe your first girlfriend or boyfriend, disappears and it ends. Eventually, Christmas cleanup has to be done by somebody. And at the end of the day of Christmas, you want to turn that music way down again. And our lives move on. But this morning, I want to renew within us a reason that we can live as God's people in continual joy. And again, not from catchy sayings, but keeping our focus on the purpose and all that's happening in the season. This famous picture, do we have it? Of Rembrandt, sort of cut off on the bottom here a little bit, the Adorations of the Shepherds. the darkness in the scene all around, and the only light that they see is where they are focused, which is on that manger where Jesus is born. See, the joy of Christmas and in our lives comes from God's direct personal intervention with us through Christ. And if that isn't our focus, then our joy will be sucked from us at any moment that it possibly can. And if you and I are talking more about COVID than Jesus this season, you're not going to have joy that lasts. If you're talking more about anything else than Jesus this season, your joy is not going to last. Because the reason and the purpose of Christ's coming was to bring us continual joy that gets us through those dark moments of our lives each and every day. It comes from that personal, direct intervention with us, one-on-one with Jesus. And I want to take us back to that conversation we've been looking at this whole month, this Advent season, this conversation of Jesus with Nicodemus again, this one-on-one conversation, John 3:16 again. In this way, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and the phrase for this week is, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Highlight it, circle it, mark it up, whatever you need to do, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn it but to save it. See, we talked about already that God has loved us. He is loving and will continue to love us. And we have hope because God gave his life, his son to us. He gives to us sacrificially. He doesn't dole out his giving to us, but he gives sacrificially at the very cost of his being. And as a result of God's gifts, as a result of God's love, ongoing love, we have joy as the gift. And that's the thrill. That's the box that's waiting to be opened on Christmas. That's that box you unwrap, and you haven't asked for this present. You don't know what's in it. But you unwrap it, and all of a sudden your heart is just filled, overflowing, because inside of it there is this moment of joy, because someone thought enough about you to know who you are, to give you something that had meaning to you. And there's joy. So this week I want us to open up the box again to see something that's not on your list. And maybe you're not looking for joy right now, but there's something in here that God wants you to have on this Advent. And that is Jesus, and that is joy. And up to today, everything we've been talking about has all been God's initiative. Today, it's our turn. We talked about God loved, God gave, now it's our turn. And if we were in the South, they'd say this was an all-y-all moment. From New York, you say, use guys, this is for you. But it's for all of us. It's now our time to act on God's gift. Because the challenge this morning for each of us is that joy comes not just in what God has done, but my action, my acceptance, and reacting to who is giving something to me. That joy now becomes an outcome of my action. So first for all this morning, that joy requires action on your part and my part. John 3:16, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Joy is interactive. It is a choice. You and I have so many things pressed upon us. It is our choice how I respond to my circumstances. It is my choice how I respond to a person. It is my choice how I respond to a conversation. And I can choose to respond in anger or resentment or bitterness. I choose. And my challenge for us this morning is, as God has acted, for us to choose joy. Have you seen the YouTube videos, the old, it was actually old, not so old now, but the old Mentos and Coke experiment that a lot of kids did and, you know, messed up their living room carpets. So you take a bottle of Coke, drop a Mentos in it, and it all explodes all over the place. There are all sorts of things like that. Maybe as a kid you did baking soda volcanoes for a science project where you put baking soda and vinegar in and it exploded all over the place. See, joy is taking two unlike things and you put them together and this explosion of excitement occurs. Joy is used 210 times in Scripture. The Gospel of Luke uses it 20 times. And joy in Scripture is always linked to an action and a reaction. It never occurs in a vacuum. never occurs in a vacuum. It always happens between an action and a reaction. Joel chapter 2, verse 21, "Be not afraid, O land, be glad and have joy." That's the reaction. Here's the action: "Because surely God has done great things." Joy happens as an action as I react to what God has done for me. Jeremiah 15, 16, "Your words were found and I ate them." There's the action. "They were my joy and my heart's delight because I bear your name, O Lord Almighty." Joy always occurs in a reaction to God's action in Scripture. Luke chapter 10, "Fear not, for behold," pay attention, "don't be afraid." There's the reaction. "I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That's God's action. My response to that action, my reaction to it, is joy. It is not primarily an emotion. It's not a placid smile on your face. It's not somebody sprinkling magic fairy dust on you that gives you joy. I thought about doing that this morning, bringing up a box of glitter. Then I realized Norma would hit me, because I'd have to vacuum it up. It's not primarily an emotion. It's not that plastic smile that we give to each other. "How are you?" "Oh, I'm blessed today." And you're broken and ripped apart on the inside. Biblical joy is a reaction to God's action of goodness. It happens when God blesses us. The birth of a child, a marriage. David rejoices because God delivers him from his enemies. Joy is tied closely to God's acts in history. And you read through that over and over again, especially in the Old Testament. Israel delivered from slavery. Israel coming out of the banishment. Jesus at the wedding banquet. Joy doesn't happen until Jesus turns that bucket of stuff into wine. God acts, we react. And that's where joy is found. God acts, I react to God's action, and I find joy. The prodigal son coming home, if there's no return by the prodigal son, there's no joy. The father reacts because the son has acted. "We had to celebrate," the father says. "We had to celebrate because this brother of yours was dead. He is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. He has come home, so we respond in joy." And John's gospel, God loved, God gave. And my response to that is where my joy is found. It is an action that happens. And for John, John 3:16 is, my action is faith. It is belief. It's where my joy is found. We say faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance we have is that God is still alive. The conviction is that he hasn't changed, and he will continue. He will continue. He will continue to act in my best interest. No matter how hard, how difficult, how broken my life will seem, God will always continue to act in my best interest. My response then is belief. It's where my joy then is found, because I am believing in the character, the nature, the goodness, the love of God for me, the hope that he has for me. That's where my joy comes from. It is an action on my part responding to what God has done. It requires a response by me. Joy also requires focus. John's gospel, I just read, gave it to us. He reminds us again. In the beginning was the Word. The eternity of Jesus, the uniqueness of Jesus. There is nobody else like Jesus in time, space, or history. No other teacher, no other prophet, no other person throughout history is like Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things, through him all things, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Do you hear the uniqueness and the power of Christ in those couple of verses? In him, John says, was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. If that isn't our focus, you and I will never have joy. And whatever joy we may find scrape away will disappear. Like that portrait of the shepherds, unless our focus of our joy is found and only found in the eternal love of God given to us, represented to us, displayed to us in the birth of Jesus, you and I will always have our joy taken away by any circumstance that comes into your life and my life. It can be stripped away as easy as a letter, as a text, as an email, as a conversation. Unless the focus of my joy is in Christ. The shepherds in the birth narrative. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, they said to one another, let's go to Chicago and see this thing that happened, which the Lord told us about. Does your Bible say that? Because if it does, I want to see it. Let's go to Let's go to Christ. Let's go to the action. Let's go to the miracle. Let's go to where God showed us that life and light was happening. And notice where it was. It wasn't in a big city. It wasn't in Jerusalem. It wasn't in Jericho. It was in some backwoods town that people would walk through and not think anything else. Micah told us about this in Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah. Now, this wasn't, you know, one of the major clans, one of the big family units, one of the big centers of industry or authority or power. But you, Bethlehem, you, small town, backwoods, backwaters, but from you shall come forth from me the one who is the ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. See, you have to look and make sure you're paying attention to where Jesus is, because sometimes he's not where you think he is. Or sometimes where you don't think you want him to be. It's really hard to take a bad picture these days. Everybody is a professional photographer because they all have a phone. Modern phones, modern cameras are amazing. The details, the accuracy. Point, click, and all of a sudden you have the perfect picture. You can add things to your picture, eliminate things from the picture, take people out of your picture, put people in your picture, and people will never know it. But unless you're pointing at the right thing, you'll never have the perfect picture. Even with all the automatic adjustments that your camera does, unless you're pointing at the right subject, the right picture, the right moment, the right object, you will never have a perfect picture. God says in Advent, on this Sunday, you got to be pointed at the right focus. You need to have the right object in your camera. You need to have Christ in the center. And our life isn't automatic like that. It takes intentionality on my part. I have to intentionally focus my attention upon Christ. I have to allow all the news stories, I have to allow all the other noise and commotion and all the other pressures, all the other things that press in upon me, I have to intentionally push them away to make sure I intentionally am looking at Jesus, the focus of my joy that God has given me. Otherwise, my life will always be out of focus. My joy will always be taken away from me. To think back for a moment at the best Christmas present you ever received. Take a minute, take 5 seconds. What's that best present you ever received? Got it in your mind? What do you remember most about that present? Do you remember the present? Or do you remember the person who gave you that present? I wear my grandfather's ring. Growing up, this was my grandfather's Italian pinky ring. I remember every holiday season, and my grandfather had these huge hands. He was a carpenter. And he would love as a kid to take his hand and put it over the top of your two hands and say, go ahead. He made sure that I gave it to you. So when I look at this, I see a nice piece of jewelry, but more importantly, I see my grandfather. At those family meals, with his hand upon my hand, I hear his laugh, I hear his voice, I hear the relationship. The best present ever given to me takes me beyond the gift to the giver. And true joy lasts when we look in the right place. And when we look in the right place, we see beyond to the person who is giving that gift at that moment. And that's what John and the gospel writers are doing. They're taking us to the uniqueness of Jesus, moving him beyond teacher and prophet to the creator and sustainer and the savior of the universe. The word became flesh. The incarnation sets Jesus apart uniquely as God. And Christmas points us beyond the day, beyond the event, to the person behind the event and what he's saying to us. Whoever believes in him, Jesus, in him, not Santa, in him, not Elf on the Shelf, not him, but him. See, belief has no power, no joy, unless it has the right focus. And all the other things we put on Christmas, again, they're fun. Rudolph, right? They're all fun, but they are no foundation for lasting joy in our life. Jesus, he will save people from their sins. That gives me joy. Christ, the Messiah, the Deliverer, that gives me joy. It is in this Jesus and only this Jesus that gives me any hope, any possibility of joy in my life. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote, though he was in the form of God, he did not deem equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, and being found in human likeness, he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And therefore God exalted him and gave him the name of which is above every other name, the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow in heaven or earth and under the earth, and every tongue profess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus is Lord. That has to be my focus for my joy. Because anything else and everything else disappears. Other leaders may want my focus, but they cannot give me joy. All the images, the trappings of Christmas we have, all fun, they fade away just like my joy does. Unless we look beyond them to the reason about why we are doing this celebration, that is the love, the depth, and the reality, and the intervention of God into space, time, and history on my behalf and our behalf. That Jesus Christ is creator and sustainer of the universe, stepped down, stooped down, and stepped into my world so I can be lifted up with joy and hope and future and eternity. See, joy requires not just action, but a direction, a focus of my action. Not in my circumstances, but in Christ, Jesus and Nicodemus. Whoever believes in him, Nicodemus, will have everlasting life. The gift of joy is eternity. We think, again, joy as emotion. We think of joy as a package, joy as a present. But the real gift of joy is eternity. Because Jesus finishes the statement in Nicodemus by saying that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John says it this way. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, not born of natural descent or human decision, but nor the husband's will, but the born of God. See, the stakes of Christmas are far higher than what you get on December 25th. They're far greater than that. Retailers are already stocking for Super Bowl and Valentine's Day. Is pushing at their back doors, waiting to come out on the shelves. They're moving on to the next holiday already. We move beyond December 25th very easily. See, we are all conditioned in our society to think about and plan for the here and now. For most of us, long-range planning is what I'm having for dinner tonight, or my graduation, or my retirement locations. Very few of us think about eternity on a daily basis. And we do not live as if you and I are eternal beings. We do not live as if the people we are living with are eternal beings. And yet Scripture tells us that every single person in creation are eternal beings. Life goes beyond our vision. Life goes beyond our moment. And the purpose of Christmas, the point of Christmas, points us beyond the moment into eternity. Takes us from the immediate to the eternal, from this day to a forever day. And Christmas was the first Advent, the first coming of Jesus. And we've already said that Jesus was God at the beginning. He came in the manger, but it also tells us that he's coming again one day. And he said it, he warned his disciples, John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come back to take you so you may be with me. Acts 1:11, after Jesus ascends to heaven, why are you standing here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who went to you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've just seen him go. See, in the first coming, Christ came in humility. He came in suffering. He came as a servant. The second coming of Jesus, he comes back as the conquering king. He is eternal just as you and I are eternal. And Christmas points us to eternity beyond the day. Revelation 19 talks about Jesus being, says on his robe and on his thigh, he had this name written, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, true joy comes not just from acting, not just from heading with the right focus to the right place, but knowing that when we do, what we receive can never be taken away from us, which is eternity. See, Christmas is all about eternity. Much more so than the decorations, the trees, and the presents, and the lights, and the candies, and the cookies, and all the other fun stuff we do. It is all about eternity. It is a message of eternity that you and I one day will have to face God. Your family, your friends, our neighbors, everybody one day faces God. And Christmas puts a stake in the ground by God to remind us that eternity is real. That this isn't all there is in life. And because eternity is real and God's love, he reminds us that there is only two destinations for eternity. And Jesus talks about this in Matthew 25. He says, when the Son of Man comes and in his glory, all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. See, Christmas is God's moment in our calendar each and every year to remind us that our lives are eternal. Your family, your neighbors, your co-workers, everyone's life is eternal. Jesus' message to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, your life is eternal. And what you do with the message of Christmas, the gift of Christ, the focus of Christ in your life, determines your eternal destination, not just what line you're going to stand in to return that gift that you really didn't ask for, but you got anyway, but you didn't have the courage to say, I really didn't want this to begin with, and you didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings by not returning it in front of them, so you did it a week later. You catch all that? See, we may know the form of Christmas, but God reminds us about the purpose of Christmas. Do I know the person, the joy, the gift of faith that only comes from my reaction to God's action? That God loved, God gave. I respond with faith and belief. And the gift I receive is eternity, which gives me joy. And that's the encouragement, that's the reminder, this Advent, this Sunday of joy, this season. What am I focused on? And if you and I are focused on more things than Christ, you will never have joy that lasts. And I challenge you, turn off your social media for 2 weeks. Stop listening to the news for 2 weeks. And focus upon Christ. And see how your perspective, your life, your relationships change, your view of people change, your conversations change, how your heart changes. And take time over the next 2 weeks to ask yourself, how have I responded to God's gift of Christ in my life? Is he the Savior and Lord of my life? Have I responded to God's action? And if I have, then what is keeping me from the joy that God has for me, knowing that he has given me eternity and has given me power to live today until I live with him in eternity? And if I really believe all this is true, when was the last time I invited somebody else to respond to God's gift and have their lives changed for eternity as well? See, the gift of Christmas is a reminder to each and every one of us that we are eternal beings. We live with eternal beings. We're on a journey for an eternal destination. And the joy comes from knowing that when I respond to God's action of Christ, my eternity with God is secure. And my joy with God can never be taken away by any power, person, or circumstance that you and I will face. But it only comes when I make that journey to God with Christ. And it gets even better when I invite others to come on that journey with me. So what's taking away your joy this Christmas? What have you replaced Christ with this Christmas? What do you focus on this Christmas? What is taking up your time and your attention this Christmas rather than God's gift of Jesus to you and to us? Let's choose to respond to God's gift and find the joy that he has for us. Let me pray. God, all that I just said is so easy to say, and I confess it is much harder to do. But I thank you that through the power of your Spirit, you give us the ability to do. You give us the ability to change. You give us the ability to think and to live different, God. And I pray for myself, and I pray for all of us, God, you would allow us to invite that change within us. To stop allowing so many other things rob us of the joy you intend us to have because of the gift of Christ you have given to us in each and every day. But we are reminded of at Christmas. And I confess in the ways that I do that. And I pray that this Sunday especially, this Advent season especially, we would allow the message of Christ to become the primary thing that we are thinking, living, and acting in our lives. And in doing so, allow all the rest of our life to find its focus and not rob us of our joy that you intend for us. And I pray you would help us along the way to invite others to be a part of that joy parade to eternity with you, with us, with Christ. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.